Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome back to today's issues, Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. Tim has stepped away. He is battling sickness and just couldn't go any longer, and so he basically handed the controls to me. That's why you have a co-pilot. So I'm going to try not to crash the plane, Walker.
Yeah. Some of these flights that I take where there's two pilots, there's just two of some of these domestic flights, I'm like, I hope both of them don't get sick.
Yeah.
If one, the other can take over.
Yeah, I hope they both didn't eat the tuna fish.
Right.
You know,
and I feel real safe when I fly overseas and they've got like six pilots in there. Yeah. It's like an entourage.
Everyone's going to eat something else, something different. Well, we have Steve Jordahl in.
And good morning. I can serve as your navigator for the day.
Yes, well, I appreciate
that. I'll
be
a flight attendant. I can pass out water and Coke.
Well, in that case, I'd like a Diet Coke, please.
And a little bag of six pretzels. I did some flying this week. And that's it. The little bag, about six pretzels. And, man, you better have eaten before. If that's what you got to tide you over,
yeah,
that's a bad state to be in. But anyway, Steve, you weren't in here. We were talking with Fred Jackson about the new executive order.
Right.
The news was breaking. We were watching it on our screen. We have a screen here in the studio tuned to Fox News, and
folks,
saw that
happen.
Folks,
if you look to your right on your radio dial, you might be able to glance
at the screen in our studio. The screen that we're looking at. So let me just ask you, you may not actually add anything to what we were looking at, but you might. What's the latest, as far as you know, on this travel ban executive order that has now been reconfigured and reissued by the Trump administration?
All right, Ed. So I haven't been able to read the language of the travel ban yet because it hasn't been posted at the White House site. But I do have a Washington Post story that apparently the reporters there have seen it and have written on it. Now it's the Washington Post.
Right.
So I will try to de-bias the story as I go through. It's a 90-day ban on the issuance of new visas for citizens of six majority Muslim nations, the same six. Remember, the last one was seven. They took Iraq off of the list, and they left Iraq out because the nation is increasing its cooperation with the United States and has promised to repatriate people if we send them back. Basically, if we deport them, Iraq says we'll take them right back and we'll put them back. We'll take care of them.
Right.
So, given that and the fact that they're cooperating, meaning I'm assuming with vetting of these people, they've gotten themselves off the list. So it's the same other countries. The Sudan. I don't have a list in front of me.
It's
of the countries,
Iran, Sudan, Somalia, Libya, Yemen, and Syria.
There you go.
Right.
The U.S. Is also suspending its refugee program. Now, this ban is on anybody coming in from those countries that has a visa,
right,
except for travelers from those countries who are legal permanent residents of the United States, dual nationals with a passport from another country,
mm-hmm,
and those who have been granted asylum or refugee status. However, the U.S. refugee program is suspended for 120 days and will not accept more than 50,000 refugees a year. So they've cut about in half, a little more than half of President Obama's 110,000 refugee cap set, and they've cut it down to 50,000. It will take effect March 16th, which should take care of that chaos that we saw at the airports, mm-hmm, as that last one was on the day it was signed. What I do not read in here, and it could be because the Washington Post just didn't pick it up, was Fred, I believe, probably told you guys, because he talked to it about us in our meeting this morning, that the Christians, they had the first order talked about letting religious minorities under persecution to the head of the line.
Mm-hmm.
They don't reference that in here. It could be that it is out and they don't notice it, or mm-hmm, that it is in and they didn't notice it. I don't have confirmation. I will go with what Fred said, that he expected, he saw early reporting that it would be out and that refugees, aka Christians, that are under persecution would not go to the front of the line or get any special
I'm looking at an Associated Press story that says this. The new version is also expected to remove, so we're, mm-hmm, still going to be waiting to see, expected to remove language that would give priority to religious minorities, which,
right,
was the Christians in these Muslim-majority nations. So we have not yet seen proof of that, but the expectation is that is no longer going to be.
It is or it isn't, because the order's been signed.
So right,
it is
that's
or
right.
It isn't. We just haven't seen the order yet.
Yes.
Right. So. The merits of these of this executive order were really affirmed by the Obama administration, because you had, you know, national security advisors that testified before Congress, are different people in government testified before Congress during the President Obama's administration that essentially admitted we don't have proper database information to vet these refugees. There is no information to build from to even what to decide whether we should let them in or not.
These are countries that have no government, basically. You look at Sudan, after years of drought and famine and revolution, there's just nobody there to take care of those records. We don't trust that the government, such as they are, if there is even is a standing government in these countries, has the capacity to really regulate who comes in and out. So, and
but now a country like Iran, they do have the ability, but we don't trust them.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Iran might be the one outlier to that. It does have a functioning government. It's just that they have shown antipathy towards us from day one. And Walker, you're exactly correct that these were nations identified under the Obama administration as countries of particular concern.
For example, in Europe or maybe Israel or other countries that we have a relationship with, there's a database there that we can use maybe from their government to run someone's name, and it comes up, do they have a criminal record? You know, is there any intel on them? But with the system now, these refugees in these six countries outlined by the Trump administration, they pull up someone's name and it's blank.
Yeah.
You know,
or they want to come to this country. They're in a refugee camp, and so basically what you're doing is you're saying, are you a terrorist?
Right.
No.
Of course.
Okay,
who's
get on the plane.
That? Right.
You know, I mean, that's there is, like you said, there's no data bank.
Right.
That, you know, like in this country, you can pull up my name. You know, you get my driver's license and
are
whatever.
Are you a terrorist? Absolutely.
Well, no. Don't say that. I don't want no fly list.
But Ed is not a terrorist.
But
Ed
there's none of that in these countries.
Right.
That's what Steve's talking about. You have a non-functioning government is not going to have, you know, a place where you go and get your driver's license. Mm-hmm. It's just a free-for-all.
Now, here's something that I have a little bit of a concern with, and I'm sure someone in Washington and the Trump administration has thought of this. But so what about all of these refugees that have flooded Europe and want to fly? Say they get into Germany, which is just overcrowded with these refugees, and they decide they want to get on a plane in Frankfurt or Berlin and fly to the United States. They're not on
Germany's
not on the list.
Yeah, but you're supposed to have a country of origin.
So the country of origin
I think that's the way they would work that. So you're in Germany. You say, well, where are you from? Well, I'm from Libya.
Right.
One of the countries which you're not coming to the United States.
Yeah. So that's as much as we know at this point. Look at onenewsnow.com throughout the day. We will suss out the details and put it up there.
Go ahead.
It's going to be important for the Trump administration as these talks go on to clarify that the first executive order was perfectly legal and within the constitutional authority of the president. Because I don't think we need to get this narrative out there that somehow the first one was unconstitutional and we're reissuing a new one. We're issuing a new one that's more constitutional.
Right.
The first one, was it carried out smooth? No, I think everybody agrees there was flaws, you know, some confusion there, but it was within his authority.
Yep.
And so I don't think we need to lose track of that.
Thank you. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
All right. Now, we've mentioned several times, Steve, that you were at National Religious Broadcasters, as was I and several others here. Jonathan Coker, who's handling the board for us today, was there. We had a very big moment, very proud moment for those of us here at American Family Association, American Family Radio, Thursday night. And I sat at the table with you at a banquet. Tell our listeners, if they haven't heard, what happened.
Well, this was down in Orlando, Florida, and Brother Don, as we lovingly refer to him here, Papa, as Wesley refers to him. What do you call your grandpa?
I call him Papa.
Papa.
Yeah.
Do you call him Papa?
Because I've never
just
called
weird.
Him Papa to his face.
The people around here call him Brother Don.
Brother Don, as we call him, with much affection, was inducted into the National Religious Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And Thursday night was a spectacular night. Not only did we get to listen to the preaching of R.C. Sproul.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah, let me tell you, that man, I used to, he was assigned reading when I went to seminary in Portland, Oregon. And so I got to hear him, and we got to hear from an Indian pastor who has the fastest growing church in the world.
Mm.
Right now, a great testimony of faith.
We have Laura Story led worship. Laura was
Story,
excellent.
Oh, man, phenomenal songs that she did. And there was a number of other awards. Alveda King, who is Dr. Martin Luther King's niece, who and we talk to often at One News Now, was given an award and several others. But the highlight of the evening for all of us, I'm sure, and for me, was Brother Don being inducted to the Hall of Fame. And I stayed up pretty late Thursday night into Friday morning, putting a package together for our listeners so that they could hear about this wonderful time on Friday. And maybe we could just play that, and we could talk about afterwards what your guys' thoughts were of it.
It was the culmination of 40 years of ministry. In a room full of the most important people in Christian broadcasting, Brother Don, as he's known at the ministry, stood above them all.
Coming up from the middle aisle, would you welcome the Reverend Dr. Donald E. Wildman, the latest inductee into the NRB Hall of Fame.
The NRB prepared a short video to set the tone. It captured the heart of AFA, bringing God's truth to a needy world.
The American Family Association believes that God has communicated absolute truth to mankind, and that all people are subject to the authority of God's word at all times.
I asked him afterwards what being inducted to the Hall of Fame felt like.
I feel a little bit like Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle.
Oddly enough, I don't feel a whole lot different. I'm just aware now that maybe we did do a little bit of good.
The entire Wildman family was there to enjoy the moment. They were, needless to say, very proud. His son and current AFA president, Tim Wildman, says Don is a visionary.
My dad was a very gifted person at having a vision given to him by the Lord and also being able to put it into place.
Don's grandson, Wesley, speaks about Brother Don as a faithful servant.
Even when it became difficult and some people, even in his own Christian camp, were against him, he continued to be faithful.
Mostly, though, he thinks of his papa as a special friend.
So hanging out at the house, playing in the yard, under the trees, and him coming outside playing kickball.
What was on display at the ceremony Thursday night, however, was a man humbled by the honor.
There's not a person in the room tonight who deserves credit, and I'm the lucky one. God bless you.
At the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, I'm Steve Jordahl.
So that was my take of the night. What was yours, Ed?
Well, I was very proud to have been had the privilege these many years. I've been here for 21 years to serve with Brother Don. And, you know, the thing is, there were some pictures sent afterwards amongst the family, the Wildman family, but also some of the leadership here. Somebody sent a photo of Brother Don and James Dobson. Mm-hmm. And I thought about those two men and Phyllis Schlafly and Jerry Falwell and D. James Kennedy. Those men and women, and we're of course talking about Brother Don, got an inside look at his integrity here at the ministry. Those were men and women who in the 70s began ministries and sounding the alarm at what they saw was the dangerous direction this country was taking. And boy, it has all come to pass, but they also endured the slings and arrows. You know, when Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount that you're blessed when people speak evil about you, because you stand for righteousness and you speak out on my behalf. You know, these are men like Brother Don, and men, women like Phyllis Schlafly. Yeah. These are giants. These are God's champions. And I never saw Brother Don yield or back up on the vision. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really amazing. You know, the expression that, you know, an act of courage will stiffen the spines of 100 men. Mm-hmm. My spine was stiffened many times because mm-hmm. he's just unflappable. Mm-hmm. And he had, you know, ministers who would rail against him. I mean, mm-hmm. from his own denomination, but elsewise, otherwise, you know, Walker, I would just see him. He would just, oh, well, and he would go about doing what God called him to do. And that is not only extraordinary, but it's also increasingly rare in mm-hmm. the church today.
Yeah, and also I love how I love his humility because right. he never, even in the audio you just played, Steve, he never takes credit for the great things that he did. And he, if anyone should take credit, he should. The humility there is amazing, and it's something we can all learn from. Mm. And also, like you mentioned, he never backed down. And that's one thing he always stressed, and he still stresses today, is we're called to be faithful, not successful. And right. that's countercultural because everyone, who doesn't want to be successful in the eyes of the world? We want to have a nice job, you know, be well-known, have our name quoted in news stories. But his job, he was on a mission. And the mission was not necessarily to be successful, but to be faithful to what God called him to do, and he did.
And let me just add something, because that's an excellent insight. He's always said that. That's one thing I've always remembered about him. God has not called me to be successful, but to be faithful. Hmm. And to me, if your number one goal in life is to be faithful to God, God might help you become successful.
Yes.
But if your number one goal is to become successful, you won't be faithful.
Right.
Because in order to be successful nowadays, especially outside the Christian environment, the you know, Christian ministry, you have to play the game.
Right.
You have to be politically correct.
Right.
And you will yield on the faithfulness to get success.
Yeah.
And so I that's one thing he's always said, God's called me to be faithful, not successful. Mm-hmm. You look around, and God has obviously made American Family Association, AFR, successful in terms of its growth and its mm-hmm. impact, but that wasn't his number one goal. And to me, he's got things in the proper order that allows God to make a man or a woman successful if their desire is to be faithful above all else.
Exactly. And we have to remember that because, you know, amidst the battles, we like to look at our numbers, so to speak, and say, you know, how are we doing here? We're making an impact over here. But that's not the main point. The main point is, are we fighting the good fight? And we'll leave the results up to God.
A couple thoughts that struck me as we're talking here. Number one, I had the pleasure of serving with Dr. Dobson for 10 years, and I was also at the NRB when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And you're right, we used to call him Doc, like we call Brother Don.
Right.
Doc was exactly that, a man of conscience, a man of unfailing integrity throughout his ministry, and stood for what he believed in. The other thing that really strikes me is that when we talk about Brother Don, talk about Dr. Dobson, Phyllis Schlafly, who's gone on to be with the Lord.
Right.
And Jerry Falwell, is he?
No, he's passed.
He's passed.
D. James Kennedy has passed mm-hmm. away.
This is a generation that is quickly leaving us. And the legacy they leave behind has been taken up by some very capable people. Now, I'm sure that Tim would be Pastor or Brother Tim, our mm-hmm. president now, his son, your dad, mm-hmm. Walker, would be just as humble. But it's important that these people take this legacy and craft it to our time. Mm-hmm. Jim Daly has done the same thing at Focus on the Family. And I know that Tim has done, I mean, some things, the truth remains, right. and the steadfastness, the integrity remains. The package in which it's delivered could change slightly. I don't have to wear a tie around here now because of Brother Tim,
yeah.
although I do, but I don't have to.
Right.
We might say things different. Certainly at Focus on the Family, Jim Daly has a little bit of a different way of doing things than Dr. Dobson did, but they're both committed to God's truth. So the next generation of leaders that are leading us up are now in their prime. And I'm proud to be associated with both Focus on the Family and so proud to be associated with American Family Association. My prayer is that other organizations also maintain the same integrity, because the battle we're fighting now is a little bit different than the ones we were fighting back then.
Well, and the environment in which we're fighting it has changed. So you have that generation. It's almost like looking back at the World War II generation that's also dying. You know, I mean, you just go,
well,
wow, what did they accomplish?
Actually part of that.
Yeah, they were. And so you look at the Brother Don's generation and the men and women we've been talking about, they were kind of looking around the curve and seeing mm-hmm. what's coming. Now what was coming is here.
Yeah.
So we were just talking earlier on this program where Disney, making its live-action version of Beauty and the Beast, which this live-action version comes out March 17th, I think, where they have an openly gay, and they're applauding it.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of thing. That's the culture we live in, where there's all kinds of things we can't even talk about. A new transgender law that is being considered in New Hampshire that could affect churches and their approach to the transgender issue inside their buildings. What Brother Don and others saw, Walker, coming around the curve is now here. Yeah. And like Steve says, you know, we have to, I guess heed the words of Jesus, be innocent as doves but wise as serpents.
Yeah, we have to be wise, and also we have to stay true to our founding. And just like people talk about, we need to stay true to our founding principles of the country. The ministry here at American Family Association needs to stay true to what it was founded upon, what my grandfather started it upon. And also, one thing we can all agree on is the Word of God. We have to remain vigilant and true to the Word of God and not back down from that, because if you back down from that even one inch, you begin to lose your entire base, your entire belief system. And so we have to stay true to who we are.
And, you know, Steve, to kind of just piggyback on that, Jesus made it clear. I mean, the whole Bible shows two paths. If you look in the book of Proverbs, there's a path of righteousness, there's a path of unrighteousness, there's wisdom, there's folly, okay? Jesus said there are two types of individuals, those that, to what Walker's saying, who hear my word and build their lives on it, that's a person who has built a life, or in this case, a ministry upon solid rock. If you depart from those words of Jesus, like some in the evangelical community are starting to do, you are building on shifting sand, and that is not a solid foundation for a life, a marriage, a family, a church, or a ministry.
I've been watching this. I've been in this game, as you have, Ed, long enough to see, and Walker, you can probably, you're starting to see these kind of trends as well. Where when we first started out in this battle, we were kind of the majority, and we saw the inroads that, for example, the human rights campaign, as they're so called, was pushing for homosexual rights, and we saw the abortion lobby, and they were an outside influence trying to gain traction in the culture. Well, now they've gained traction in the culture. What we're seeing now is, we're seeing a winnowing now of the wheat from the tare within the Christian community. And folks, I hate to say this, but you're going to hear some names down the road, and I don't have any names right now, but you're going to hear some names that are going to disappoint you. It will not be American Family Association. It won't be focused on the family, as I know these people very well. I pray to God. But you're going to hear some names that, whereas you thought that this denomination or that denomination or this church or this leader or that leader, we thought they were really solid, they're starting to have to take a side now.
Right.
Because
right.
The culture is demanding of us that we choose, we support. Those that do not want to support the agenda of the radical left are going to be branded. So that's where we're at now, the winnowing. And then down the line, we're going to have to choose. Are we going to, are those that remain, the faithful that remain, are we going to stay in the society and preach even though it means severe persecution? I hate to say that word because I know what's happening to Christians in the Middle East that are being beheaded. So we're not at that kind of persecution, and I pray to God we never come to that. But the Bible's pretty clear about what the tribulation is going to look like. And it doesn't say it's just going to be happening there.
Right.
Are we going to stay and fight and preach, or are we going to have to meet underground and just exist until Christ return like they do in China?
Well, Christians are called to be salt and light, and this is one of the reasons why. When they're not salt and light, Jesus says they're good for nothing. Talking about his own disciples, good for nothing but to be thrown underfoot and trampled by men. So there's one way of looking at this. You can be salt and light and help preserve your country, or can you refuse to be salt and light and then suffer the consequences? Well, for almost 40 years, American Family Association has been doing that. We will continue to do that with your help and your prayers. Please continue listening to American Family Radio throughout the day. More great programming directly ahead. God bless you, and thanks for listening.